grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word this 12th Sunday after Pentecost is our Psalm of the day, Psalm 131. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, Psalm 131, verse 3, O Israel, hope in the Lord. Hope in the Lord. Actually, in the original, it's more wait on the Lord, but the same idea. Hope on the Lord, wait on the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. That's the key verse. Only three verses in the Psalm, but that's the key one. That's what it's all about. Hope in the Lord. Not just now, but hope in the Lord forever. Now those words are a plea. Not like an evangelism plea where you try to reach people who don't know the true God, but this is addressed to people who do know the true God, which is kind of interesting in itself. But not only that, it is a plea from a king to his people, from King David to the people of Israel. Now you would expect a plea to go the other way, from the people to the king, but this is going this way, king to people. Now when a king speaks to his people, you would not expect a plea. You would expect what? You would expect a command. That's what kings do. You would expect a command. But there's a problem with that when it comes to matters of faith, and that is you cannot command faith. You can command outward behaviors. You can command outward obedience. You can command outward compliance with the ordinances of God. You might think of something a little bit like the military. What's the old poem? Do you remember the charge of the light brigade? You learned that in high school? The charge of the light brigade, how does it go? Forward the light brigade, that's the order. And then the words I think are familiar. How did they respond? Well, theirs was not to make reply. Theirs was not to reason why. Theirs was but to what? Do and die. Into the valley of death rode the 600. You can command that sort of thing, but you can't command faith. All you can do is take the horse and lead it to water and say, right there, there's your Savior, Jesus Christ. There's the living water. There's his shed blood that washes you clean. There is pardon and peace with God. There's the hope of Israel. There's your Savior. There's your Savior. Well, David is a man of faith. He's a faithful leader of God's people. And as he looks out at God's people, he sees the usual tales. He sees the usual stories. They've always been around as long as there have been human beings. But he looks out and he sees that the mighty ones among his people will try to muscle their way through. He sees that the attractive ones among God's people will know how to use that beauty or attractiveness to gain their own ends. He sees how the brainy ones just know they'll be able to figure everything out. He sees how the talented ones are sure that their passion will carry the day. He sees how the influential and the wealthy ones will sit quietly behind the scenes and move the chess pieces around. He sees how the educated ones will turn to their books and their research. He sees how the connected ones will get by with a little help from their friends. And in the midst of all of that, as he looks out over the people of God, he says, Oh Israel, hope in the Lord. Hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Now, of course, we want to be careful not to glorify King David or any human being for that matter, as if he is a person who has somehow arrived. We often think that about people. This person has arrived. They finally arrived at a right understanding of Christianity. They're in the right place. And you might think that with King David, he's called a man after God's own heart, but yet he hasn't arrived. We don't want to glorify him because the Lord had to take him places where David didn't want him to go. He had to take him down paths that he did not want in his right mind to go down. Nobody in their right mind would want to go down those paths. But you recognize over time that the Lord wasn't working in King David a right mind. He was working in him a right heart. A right heart toward God. And so he would write in another psalm, Psalm 22, he said, Lord, you are the one who brought me forth from the womb. Lord, you made me trust you when I was upon my mother's breast. Upon you I was cast from birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb. Notice what he says there. He says, from birth he was cast upon God. He's like a survivor from a shipwreck, cast up on the shore, too exhausted to swim, thrown up onto the sand by the power of the waves. And that's what happens to him over and over again in his life. It's the working of God. It's the power of God. It's the wisdom of God. Nothing in David himself. It was the hand of God that had pulled him out of obscurity when he was a teenager. Samuel, the prophet, was sent to anoint one of the sons of Jesse king, and David wasn't Samuel's choice, and David wasn't his own family's choice, but the Lord chose him. And after David was anointed king, did he ascend the throne? No. There was a long, difficult path ahead for him. 10 years he was chased around and hunted by King Saul. 7.5 years he only ruled part of the kingdom in the town of Hebron. He went from his youth all the way to his middle age. He had to wait that long before he saw God's promises fulfilled. And over again he could have cut corners. He could have taken a fast route to things. He could have taken the throne violently. He could have taken matters into his own hand. He could have avenged himself against Saul. But every time there was an opportunity to do that, somehow God grabbed a hold of his hand and wouldn't let him do it. It stood in his way. And the Lord took care of things. When it was time, the Lord removed Saul, who had caused David so much trouble. When it was time, the Lord removed Ishbosheth, Saul's son, after him. When it was time, the Lord removed Shimei, who had cursed and mocked David. When it was time, the Lord removed Absalom, David's son, who tried to overthrow him. And when the dust settled, over and over, David found himself left with one thing. He found himself left with the Lord. And that was enough. That was enough. O Israel, hope in the Lord. Hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. And that held true even when David sinned against the Lord by trusting in the size of his army rather than in the Lord's power and strength. And the Lord said, punishment will come upon your nation because of that. And the Lord sent a prophet to him, the prophet Gad, who said, here's your choice. Door number one, shall 3 years of famine come to you in your land? Door number two, shall 3 months your enemies chase you when you have to flee before your foes? Door number three, shall there be 3 days of pestilence in your land? Now consider and decide what I shall answer. I shall return to the Lord who sent me. And David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercy is great. But let me not fall into the hand of man. Even when he had sinned, even when it was a situation of turmoil, he still had to say, I am in the hand of God. Let me be in the hand of God. Let the Lord guide. Let the Lord dispose. Let the Lord give me my lot. O Israel, O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, because his mercies are great. His mercies are great. And if the testimony of the Bible wasn't enough for you, and the experience of fellow believers and even your own life wasn't enough for you, you have the greatest testimony of them all. You have the final word on the subject. You've got the cross of your Savior Jesus, which removed your sin, which took it away, which atoned for it, which paid for it, which made you clean, which assured you that God will be merciful, and assured you that if he so loved you as to give you his Son, won't he, together with him, graciously give you all good things? And so when the dust settles, where are you? What do you have? You're left in the hands of the Lord. And so, you want to be someplace else? You want to be someplace else? And King David certainly didn't want to. That's the point of the psalm for today. He said, I'm like a young child with its mother. Like a young child is my soul within me. The young child who wants to stay with their parent and be comforted and encouraged. Or like another psalm writer would write, he said, the nearness of God is my good. Things are not good unless God is near me. I may have everything else, and it's not good unless the Lord is near. And what is it that a young child wants to hear? They want to know that their parents are near. Because when their parents are near, everything's fine. When their parents are near, everything is content. All is as it should be. Left in the hands of God, and that's enough. Continuing to leave it in the hands of God, and that's enough. O Israel, hope in the Lord. Hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior.